Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Lincoln head coach Malik Hoskins.
All right, Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's game, that 49-48 game against Northeastern State. There's a lot to observe there on film. What were a couple of things that really caught your eye about that game?
The willingness for our guys to fight and not back down to adversity, which has been, you know, kind of the thing here. When adversity hits, we tend to take a step back instead of taking a step forward. I was happy to see them believe in what they were coached to do. So hopefully we can build on it.
Offensively, we saw some things open up. You know, anytime you have a quarterback that throws for 454 yards in the game, you're feeling pretty good. But I think the one takeaway we talked about after the game was that, hey, the run game was there this week. And when you look on film, I mean, was that just Hosea finding holes, or was that the O-line really kind of stepping up?
I think it was more or less the coaches figuring out what Hosea and Torrey also is good at doing. And taking advantage of that. You know, it was a combination of it. But I just think the coach did a really good job of preparing those kids to have success.
Okay, and taking a look ahead to this week's opponent in Central Oklahoma, what are a few things that you've noticed about them?
Talented quarterback. Stephon is very athletic. He's a dual threat guy. He can beat you with the pass, or he can beat you with his legs. Really disciplined football team. Sound. What they do is what they do. They're not going to deviate from it. They're gonna keep playing until you make a mistake. So, you know, coach has done a really good job with their program over there. And I think Nick is in a good situation. I don't think you're just having a conversation with him. He never takes one day for granted. And those kids, you can see with those kids and the way they play, he has that mindset instilled in them.
All right, that was Lincoln head coach Malik Hoskins. And Greg, we've got a lot of places we could start and a lot of things we got to talk about. I guess the end result is kind of a crushing 49-48 loss to Northeastern State in overtime. Mm-hmm. But I guess the good part of it is one, you put up some points, you know, you got to overtime, you put yourself in a position to win a game. It just didn't happen, but I think those are all positives from where things had started the season for the Blue Tigers.
Right. The thing, first off, I was completely wrong. I think in last week's podcast, I predicted them as a 3-touchdown underdog in that game. And you know what? First 5 minutes, Lincoln scores on their opening possession. Defense gets a 3-and-out. And I remember thinking, all right, this is something we've been waiting to see out of Lincoln.
Yep.
Now, again, it didn't stay that way for the next 55 minutes. But, hey, the thing about that game was no team led by more than 8 points. It was close the entire way, and it came down to the very end. And, first off, you know, hats off to Lincoln for forcing overtime, because Northeastern State had a 25-yard chip shot field goal to win at the end of regulation, and Lincoln blocks it.
Yeah.
And that game could have easily ended at the end of regulation, just 45-42.
Sure.
But just a heck of an effort. Where you feel bad is when you have 600 plus yards of total offense and you have an L next to the result of that game. So, don't want to really. I'm not going to blame the defense, because there are a handful of offensive opportunities that were missed on that one. But you know, Lincoln just could not get enough stops in that game.
Yeah.
To win it.
You know, we talked about it a little bit last week, and I think we were kind of wondering, okay, you know, who's going to step up and make some plays? Who's going to be able to do some things? We knew that Zamar Brake might be able to do some things. I mean, he did some things to the tune of 454 yards, you know, a Lincoln all-time record for passing. So that's one place we need to start with. So let's mention him, although I do want to get to the running game as well, because there was a notable thing there too. But let's start with the passing game and just go, what was it about that he was able to have such a tremendous day?
It helps that he has good wide receivers, because there are a handful of those passes that were, you know, short 5 yards. 5-yard passes, and the receivers just did a great job of running after the catch.
All right.
He did have some great downfield passes, though. I think their final touchdown in the fourth quarter was a nice 50-yard bullet down the middle of the field. I mean, it was a 50-yard touchdown, but, I mean, he hit him near the goal line, so he really showed some great distance on his passes. It's just such an impressive effort. I mentioned it in the last few podcasts. Like, hey, you know, Lincoln's got something here with this quarterback. It would be interesting to see what happens when they're firing on all cylinders. And that's what happened on Saturday. I mean, 454 yards, but he had fewer than 30 pass completions. So, I mean, you're averaging like between 15 and 20 yards per catch. And that, I mean, that's a huge deal when you can do that offensively. And as you're leaning up, you know, Hosea Franklin rushed for more than 100 yards. Right. So that opened up things for
running. We talked about when might he be able to get loose, and last week was the week, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a big rushing game from him. And not only that, but, I mean, Zamar Brake also rushed for more than 50 yards. So he had more than 500 yards of total offense on his own. We saw his scrambling ability. He was only sacked twice. The offensive line play, I know a lot of people are like, well, if you throw for that much, you know, it must have improved a lot. I think talking with Coach Hoskins, yes, it was better, but what they did was the coaching staff reevaluated the game film from the first 2 weeks and set up plays that would give Zamar a chance to have more success.
Sure.
Like really just – he's at his best when he's outside the pocket.
Sure.
Because he could either run for it, or it could buy him enough time to find someone to get open, and he can hit that person for a 10-15-yard gain.
It's worth noting that he is a true freshman. He's, you know, he started out at St. Francis, where he redshirted there. Mm-hmm. They were able to get him. How did they get so lucky to find somebody like him and get him to actually enroll? And I guess, you know, the cynic in me says, gosh, I hope he sticks around for a while, because, you know, at a lot of schools you're looking at it and you go, we're going to have this guy for 4 years. Fantastic. You know, it's great to have a fantastic freshman. The cynical part is you're thinking, oh my gosh, I think he's going to parlay this into something better. I hope I'm wrong.
The transfer portal, if you talk to Coach Hoskins, the transfer portal for the most part hasn't been fair to Lincoln.
Sure.
Because they did lose a lot of players after the 2019 season. They lost players after this spring. This is one where I think the transfer portal worked, because again, this kid hadn't played in a football game since 2018.
Okay.
He redshirted 2019, COVID 2020, so this was, you know, these first three games were his first three games since high school. I really think this worked out because Lincoln said, if you come in, we will, I mean, you'll start immediately.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think anybody who's been dying to play, who is dying to play the game, will gladly take that. I know, he probably did his research and looked at Lincoln's track record, but he probably also saw that he's going to play some of the best D2 teams in the country. So give him an opportunity to really kind of, you know, show off in front of good teams.
Absolutely. How much of this is, you know, just the fact that Lincoln hasn't been in a lot of tight games? Because you mentioned they missed some kind of key chances. It's the sort of thing where you look at back at this, and I'm sure every game you can kind of look at and go, okay, a play here, a play there. But especially, you know, in an overtime game that ends up with 40, you know, that 49-48, where you go, gosh, you could find a point or two here or there, you know, on so many different things. How much of this is maybe just Lincoln, you know, not being in a lot of tightly contested games for a while and having it come down to a key play here or there, just making such a world of difference?
I really think I think that is it. I'm trying to think, and I would say you have to go back to at least the 2018, maybe the 2017 season, where they had a game that was decided by possessions. Because when they did win their game in 2019 against Northeastern State, that was like a 27-9 type outcome.
Right.
So even though they, you know, it was their only win, they, you know, they won it somewhat handily by the end.
Right.
You just feel bad because they had a handful of things working against them in the first half. I mean, they should have had 35 points at halftime. And I think they missed out on three touchdowns in the second quarter. The first one that jumps out to my mind was they had a pick six. I mean, guy wide open, run back in the end zone. But on the return, there was an illegal block, and so the touchdown got called back.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you know, I think at some point they also fumbled in Northeastern State territory. And then on the very last play of the first half, they complete a pass, and the wide receiver was spotted literally like 2 inches short of the goal line.
Mm.
And what hurt Lincoln was they had to use all three of their timeouts in the first 10 minutes of the first half. So they didn't have a timeout left to stop the clock, to get one more playoff and try to get in the end zone. Had some pass interference penalties work against them in the second half. it's a game where I look back on it, and again, everything would have to go perfectly, but they could have scored 60 plus points in this game.
Yeah. The end result is unfortunately a loss. Puts them at 0-3 overall, 0-3 in the conference. We mentioned that was probably going to be one of those games where they had a really good chance at it. They might have another decent chance this week from the standpoint of you go to Central Oklahoma, it's 2:00 Saturday at Edmond, Oklahoma. They're only 1-3 and 1-3 in the conference as well. So, I mean, what do we make of Central Oklahoma? And I think we mentioned you mentioned it to me before we started things here. We're kind of not sure what to make from their results so far this year.
You take a look, and yeah, they beat Missouri Southern, and Missouri Southern lost to Northeastern State. So you almost try to, but throw this in my double A. The commutative property doesn't matter. Take a look at. 1-3, they're coming off a shutout loss against Northwest Missouri, and if you take a look at their offensive numbers, they're not great. Lincoln's look great now because they had an offensive slugfest against Northeastern State. Stephon Brown, Central Oklahoma's quarterback, has 431 yards passing. Brake had more than that in the game against Northeastern State. What you have to worry about with Brown, though, is that he is a legit dual-threat quarterback. He leads them in rushing. And if you take a look, they're definitely, they run more than they throw the ball. You take a look at their other running backs, and, one has 130 yards rushing, another has 105. There's just not a whole lot of offensive numbers out there. Now they're looking at Lincoln thinking, oh, this is our opportunity to get some of our numbers up.
Sure.
And I, for all I know, maybe this is going to be another potential slugfest. Lincoln doesn't always necessarily play that well on the road, but the one thing I've emphasized with the last couple of weeks is Lincoln has been in games with teams for the first quarter, and then it's like they fall behind and it just can't get the momentum back, or they run out of steam late in the second half. That wasn't the case against Northeastern State. I think they need to find a way to replicate what they did right off the bat. You've got to find a way to score on your first possession, because I think that's what's been detrimental to Lincoln is, just not getting enough points on the board early. I mean, they scored plenty of touchdowns in the second half against Northeastern State, which was a change of pace from their first two games where they didn't score at all in the second half.
Right.
Again, I'll be curious to see how the first 15 minutes of this one plays out, because I do think the first 15 minutes will dictate how the game turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is worth noting that, we always talk about how the fact that the MIAA is like running a gauntlet every year, and every game just seems like it's going to be, you're going to get tested every game, not there aren't any off weeks on the schedule. Now, sometimes at the end of the season, you look back and go, okay, maybe that was an off week because, that team ended up struggling at some point. So you don't ever kind of want to be the team that kind of helps struggling teams get healthy against you. So because if there's a chance that, yes, they are a little bit down, and yes, they've had some struggle putting up points, you don't want to be that team that comes in. So I think, yes, an early score might be beneficial for the Blue Tigers, but I also think an early stop might be, is equally beneficial from the standpoint. And you just go, the longer you can keep them from getting things rolling, give yourself a puncher's chance later on in the game to maybe pull out a victory.
I mean, if I'm the defense, this game to me is going to be about the defense. I mean, yes, you gave up 49 points to Northeastern State, but it was evident. I mean, there were three total touchdowns in the last 40 seconds of the third quarter of that game. Right. It quickly became an offensive slugfest in the second half. If I'm the Lincoln defense, it's like, the offense showed they could score, so let's try to find. Not many teams are going to say this, but let's try to find a way to hold them in the upper 20s, low 30s, and that gives us a good chance to win if our offense can pick up where it left off. So you're right. I think a lot of it comes with stops. They've got to avoid the big plays, and they've got to stop the run game, because Northeastern State had two 100-yard rushers in that game.
Yeah. All right. I guess that should get us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I think we've kind of talked around it. But how do you see this one playing out, and what do you see as kind of the blueprint for this one?
I do think we're going to see a more energetic Lincoln team. You just take a look at what. But to me, I'm just Central Oklahoma. The MIAA is a gauntlet, but it made no sense to me how you beat Missouri Western Week One. And then, lose to Missouri Southern. And to me, that just... I don't know what to expect out of this team. But I think what I expect to see is a team looking to take out its frustrations on Lincoln. I think Lincoln keeps this one close, but I really think Central Oklahoma holds on. I'll say they win 35-28.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com. And for game updates and more college sport content all week, follow Greg Jackson on Twitter. That's @ACTIONJAXON05 on Twitter.